Hello and welcome to episode 93 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J Bond. With me, as always,
Mike.
Oh shit! So
wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, wow, 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 wow. It's been some time. It's been some time. Wish I could say it was awesome. Not gonna lie, I'm gonna bring it down. You know I always keep it real. Oh god, it's like the last time I think we podcasted was in like November. It's April 21st, 2018.
Is it?
No, I'm sorry, that's true. Yeah, PAX South. It's PAX South.
Yeah,
you're right, you're right, you're right.
Yeah. So it's like January. Fuck.
And then I had Ben Wander on with a case of distrust, his game that had released at the time, that was 92, and now we're at 93. Closing in on 100, but god damn, there's a lot of things I'm not going to talk about on the podcast, but Jesus.
Just life. Let's just stick with that. Leave it at that.
Stick with your life, Carol, as they say.
Yeah.
So how the hell have you been? It's been like I feel like we text every once in a while and we're just like, yep,
right?
Still sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. You know, got the girlfriend thing going on and work.
Yep.
Trying to juggle all that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll play Persona in real life. How about that?
Yeah.
But minus the school part.
And magic powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really weird for me because I've been legitimately trying to get more into gaming than I had been in previous months, and I feel like there's a part of me that I've mentioned why I kind of got out of gaming, and then it was, you know, my friend Jason that had passed away, and we had done the original podcast, the original panel that I had been doing at PAX, the positivity one, like it was his idea, and just like after he died, like I just honestly like kind of like I just stopped. Like there's a lot of things that I was doing that I just stopped doing, and I've been like trying to get myself back into that. And, like obviously PAX South was a big help, and then PAX East was now what, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, and I'm honestly
still playing catch up from that because there's so many things that I'm still trying to write previews for. Meanwhile, I've got real life shit just piling up to the tune of I just file it in under the hashtag why not bucket. So there's been a lot of stuff going on, but I figure we can talk about PAX East. We can talk about what we've been playing, games and such. This PAX East, honestly, I've started to have a love-hate relationship with PAX, just in general. I feel like PAX West is always great. Like PAX West's always a ton of people, but a ton of stuff. And I feel like, and I'm sure somebody from PAX East would like totally, you know, throw numbers at me and whatever. I feel like every time I go to PAX East, there are less things to see and do and more people.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Like, I feel like the amount of stuff gets smaller. And I don't mean that in the sense of, the space is the same, but it just feels like there's way more openness in certain areas. And the main, you know, first portion as you come in, which is predominantly where all the first party AAA type of, you know, Blizzard, Twitch, PlayStation, Nintendo, Sony. Like Nintendo's booth was tiny this year. And I don't even, I honestly can't remember if they had a booth in the previous year. Like they usually do the handheld lounge at West, and they do a fair amount of stuff at West, and I think that's probably because Nintendo's out there. So it's probably way cheaper
and easier and
smarter for them to do that because like you're representing your own brand that's right there.
Right.
But, you know, Sony's booth was good, but it was still the same kind of like if you want to play the VR stuff, like if you don't book a demo through the app, like good luck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everything else is just kind of like get in line behind somebody and when they're done, you can play. And like, yeah, again, I spent such a small amount of time in that area because it just wasn't. It's too crowded. It's such a pain in the ass, and I don't want to. I'm being elitist. I don't want to wait in line. Like, I'm a nobody, and I'm not like super important to these people. But like, I just can't do that kind of sitting in
Right.
line for like 2 hours with a 3DS. But in any case, I saw a ton of indie stuff. I saw a bunch of friends.
Nice.
JC was there with Dual Hand Disaster,
Sweet.
Tiger. Yeah, so I played that, saw the new update. I mean, I'm in the alpha, so like I'm playing, I have it on my computer, I play it. I'm in the Discord. Discord's huge in my opinion for a lot of these indie developers. Like they all are like
Yeah, I
join the
know.
discharge the discharge. Join the Discord.
The Discord,
Yeah.
and it
I'm looking at
works.
my notes and I see Aftercharge and Discord and I was like discharge. That's awkward.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty
But now, yeah,
cool.
the Discord stuff works well for them.
Yeah. So to move to Aftercharge, since I just kind of subliminally went there reading my notes. Saw
Is there a new
Aftercharge
builder?
again. Yeah, new map. They had a new map to play. And it was awesome. It's like it's different. It's like there's more levels, like instead of just the map that we played at PAX South where you've just kind of got that
The little snowy mountain, whatever.
This was like more of like an industrial complex, kind of like a kind of like basically a construction yard, but you had like three or four tiers of height, and so there was just more stuff for you to either hide behind or get up above, and it changed the dynamic of the game a lot. So it's interesting to see that play that. They just recently on the 14th had a play test that if you happen to be in the game and have access to it, you could have joined in and played on the servers. I was working the whole day and I literally got home, go to play one match, get a game breaking bug, capture it, and jump into the Discord and I'm like, hey, this happened. I don't know what to do. And they were just like, grab the log, send it to us. But that's, to me, that's pretty slick because that gives them an opportunity to be like, hey, we have this big playtest. We're getting all these people into our game. And we've got a Discord, which makes it, for me, it was so easy because I was looking on the Discord and literally saw the name of the person I was in the game with
Oh
talking about
shit.
how he just got bumped out of it. He or she, I should say, he or she, got bumped out of a game. And I was literally like, oh my God, like that was. I was in that game. I was the person who got downed and then like just could not get rezzed. And I was like, and then I had this screen pop up and I had to force quit the game. But it was because like in my screenshot it had their name on because they were my teammate. It had their name in the bottom and I was like, that's the guy. Like that's the person.
Nice.
So it was just kind of funny to literally go into the Discord and I think there's like over 9,000 people in Aftercharge's Discord. To like literally instantly be like, oh, that was the person I was in with, and then like have a mini conversation. And then they helped like and the devs were helping me find the wait like how to get the error log so that I could send it to them so they could look into it, which is good because that means hopefully nobody ever deals with that again. What else did I play? I did another event with can you hear the dog barking? Okay. She's been barking all day and it's driving me nuts. It's probably somebody like walking by. But anyways, I did another thing with 505 Games. They had Underworld Ascendant, but this time it was playable.
Oh,
And they
nice.
also had another game called Memories of Mars. Which like
Oh, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, it's not a it's
I think.
totally not a game for me. It really isn't.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like it's open world and you've got to survive and it's like a way more futuristic Minecraft. And I just and like I'm dumbing it down. Like I'm not giving the game its credit. Like the systems in place in the game, like the atmosphere, like it's cool. It's
It's
not
just
a
not for
it's
you.
yeah, it's not a game 'cause like I'm not gonna sit there and mine material to build like a station to live in and then like fight stuff like it's not for me. But it was cool. It was cool. Underworld Ascendant looked great. And so that was neat to check those out. It was neat to see Underworld Ascended being playable.
Yeah,
Because it
compared to
just
just watching that.
watching them play, yeah, because it was really cool. Like it
Yeah.
was the game looked awesome, so that's
Yeah.
cool. Couple other games. I'm kind of just going down the list. I saw Heads. This was at the same booth as Iceberg Interactive's booth. They're the publishers. Anti-Gravitator and Head Snatchers. And Head Snatchers is basically like, and again, dumbing it down, Gang Beasts in Mario Party, kind of. So it's Gang Beasts in the sense of it's closed environment, and you're like four people, and the controls seem a little bit wonky, but they're not really, and you gotta fight each other, but you've gotta rip the person's head off and then do something with it. So you rip the person's head off, and it's like playful animation, like it's not, there's nothing like
It's not like
crazy violent. It
okay.
would be like you were ripping a gang beast's head off, and then like they're just running around headless, not like spewing blood or anything, just headless. And like one of them is like a football match and a football map, I should say, and you've got to like throw the head o through the goalposts, right? You get it through
That's
the
awesome.
goalpost, that person's eliminated. There's one where like it's
Yeah.
basketball, you got to dunk it, you dunk it, they're out.
Oh, snap.
And it's last,
That
you know,
sounds
there's
fun.
a bowling one where like you got to knock all the pins down, but like you also have to protect your pins too, so it's hard. So that was really cool. I really liked that. I thought it was a lot of fun. Anti-Gravitator was just this like ridiculous space racing game, futuristic racing, and you don't ever slow. Like you can, there's no top speed, so you can. If you can, I cannot. If you can manage to not hit the walls and lose speed, you can go infinitely fast, basically. Like you never, like no vehicle has a top speed. Like you can just accelerate forever. So as long as you don't wreck into the walls and slow down, like you can just kind of just go as fast as you can until you know, until you win the match or end the race, whatever. That was just, it's really fun and really cool concept. 'Cause like
That's crazy.
playing catch up is like hard because like once you get pretty far behind, like you have to hope that the person you're racing fucks up.
Yeah, right.
Because you're never gonna catch, like you'll just literally never catch up. Because like they're just constantly accelerating too. Like it's not like they hit a top speed and you can have a top speed that maybe is better. It's just, you know, depending on how you set up your ship, you can have like more boost or more acceleration or handling. Like and you kind of balance those three. That was really cool. I played a game called Semblance, and basically it's like your character's like silly putty. Sort of. But the whole, and I say silly putty, basically your character is kind of like Play-Doh. Not to be confused with a product that sounds a lot like Play-Doh. Hashtag no copyrights. And so everything in the game, within reason, you can manipulate like the position and the way it is by just hitting it because it's also like that same kind of clay-like
Material.
material. And it's like a very peaceful like kind of puzzle game, and I had a blast playing that. That was really fun.
Nice.
That's a game I could see myself if it was, and you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know if they said it was going to be iOS. If that was like a phone game, I could see myself playing that on a phone.
Right,
I could
yeah, just here every now and then,
definitely
kind of.
Switch, right? I would definitely play it on the Switch. And I think it was coming to Switch. I think it was Steam, Switch, like PS4, Xbox, because that particular booth had like a bunch of games and they were all on like multiple things. So there was another game at that same booth that was called Black Future 88, and that was like it was like Contra and Galaxy and something else combined.
Sold.
Like Nuclear Throne, right?
Had
Like,
me at Contra.
yeah, I mean that's the thing, right? Like you had me at like it's all of these games combined, side scrolling, you know. But like in terms of like the aiming and the like twin sticky part of it,
Twin sticky, yeah.
the right stick aimed very much like the way Galaxy did or Nuclear Throne, where you're like you've got this little hitbox and you're just kind of swinging your gun around the map, hitting enemies. But it's side scrolling in the sense that it's like Contra, where you're just kind of jumping back and forth around the map and trying
Nice.
not to die. So that was a really cool one. God, what else did I play? Sky Noon. Oh my God, this booth. This booth, this was the like the awesome booth. Sky Noon is dope. Do you hear the dog now? No? Okay, cool. All right, because she keeps going nuts, and it either means someone's definitely walking by, or maybe my neighbor's out doing something, but Sky
Sky
Noon
Noon.
is basically you're on this little like floating island, and it's Western style, and you've got this grappling hook and like an air gun, right? So you don't shoot bullets, you shoot air, and the idea is to blast your opponents off the map. But you can grapple hook everywhere, so like you might get knocked off the map, and then you grapple and pull yourself back, and then smoke the other person. So you've got like a revolver that's, you know, it's hard to aim, but it's got a lot of power, so you hit them and you just launch them, right? And
Oh, snaps.
dude, it's a lot of fun because you're just blasting
Sounds
people
fun.
back and forth. I had a lot of fun playing that, to the point where I finished my demo and my friend happened to be there and was like, "Oh dude, we're about to play, like you should play with us because we need a sixth because it's 3v3." And I was like, "Done, done, I'm done." And they were like, "What are you
Yeah.
doing?" And I was like, "Oh, these are my friends and they wanted to play, so I'm back literally 2 minutes later." And I like we went back a couple times to play it. It was
Nice.
Liger, my buddy Liger 313 on Twitch. And so it was a good time. So that booth, yeah, Sky Noon, awesome, a lot of fun, and just like and like a really simple game when you think about like what's happening, but like just the amount of stuff you can do just made it really fun. Like you can change your weapons, you can like there's like random power-ups, you can set traps and stuff. Like it was just good.
Oh, nice. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it was good. But I'm just gonna hang on for 1 second because I gotta get the dog to stop barking because it's driving me nuts, even if you can't hear it. So hang on a second.
Now I can hear it. Yeah, now I can hear
Yeah.
it.
All right, here we go. So Sky Noon was really great.
Nice.
And then that whole booth. So that was a one particular booth setup. So you had Sky Noon on one side, and then the other side you had this game called Rico. And dude, Rico is basically like a Michael Bay video game.
Explosions and
Not even explosions. So basically, you're like these two cops who are probably not good cops. Like, let's face it. And so you start every door you kick in, it goes slow motion, and you just blast everybody that you see. So you're just kicking in doors, killing all these drug dealers, presumably
All
drug
right.
dealers. But at one point, the cops do show, like SWAT shows up, and you've got to take them out too. Because,
Wait,
like,
what?
because you're like a bad cop. Like, you're stealing drug money and explosives and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun because, like, you can change, like, you can basically, you pick, like, two weapons to start with each match, and, like, grenades or smoke grenades or whatever, stun grenades, I think. And you just,
So it's like a multiplayer PvP type thing, or
yeah, it's co-op.
oh,
And
okay.
so it's you and a partner just kicking in doors, clearing. You clear like a build, like this one building we played was just like a 3-story like building that was in progress. So like a lot of the rooms have just like framework up, and there's just a bunch of dudes in there, and you just shoot them all. And it was just a lot of fun. And it's like a cell shaded animation type thing,
Oh, okay.
not like super cell shaded, but just it
No,
was.
yeah, just like a that specific art style.
Yeah, and so that was a really fun one. And then next to that was a game called Trailblazers. And Trailblazers is basically, again, I hate when I have to just be like, it's like these two games combined, but it's just kind of the
Nah,
easiest way without
it's a thing.
having
Yeah.
video to show you.
Yeah.
F-Zero and Splatoon.
Okay.
So as you race on the track, you can paint the track a color. You boost on that color, your teammates boost on that color, but your opponents can paint over it. So like the idea is that you're continuously painting over the track to continuously boost and
Boost.
stuff, but you also earn points for how well you drive. So like if you hit the wall, you lose points. If you're on a boost, you earn points. If you just have a clean run, whatever. You don't go slower on someone else's color, but you just don't boost. So you're like your incentive is to constantly be hitting the paint, because basically you paint and then it's got to charge, and then you can paint again and then it's got to charge. Ideally, you want to be able to paint the whole track so that you can just boost the whole track, the whole length of it.
Track, yeah.
Earn the most points, because it's not just about coming in first, it is also about getting the most points against your teammates, or opponents. And there's a couple different play modes, like team attack, every man for himself. And so that was really fun, because again, like simple games coming to Switch, like totally can see myself playing that with the kids.
Yeah. Right.
And then next to that was, I'm gonna grill this name. It was Decay of Logos. Like logos, like if you had a logo with like an S. And I kept thinking it was Lagos, but I think that's a physical location. Anyways, that was a really, really neat game. You have an it's I don't know, it's really that's probably the hardest game to explain. Because like it I don't know, it's weird. It's hard for me to explain it. I'm gonna like just go to the website and read what like read there, because their description's always gonna be better than what I can do in my head. Game is set in an expansive high fantasy world where the player coexists with the likes of kings, knights, wizards, ancient species, and various other mythical creatures. In Decay of Logos, you will journey through an ancient kingdom ruled by a warring king. The king wasn't a very affectionate father, preferring to pay attention to the military affairs of his kingdom than to any of his five sons. Much to the king's dismay, tragedy struck when the queen died during childbirth. With his dear wife gone, he sought only to protect his newborn daughter, the only princess in the realm. The distance between the king and his sons grew even more, since he only had eyes for the little princess, who looked just like her mother. As the time passed, king's sons felt abandoned without any acknowledgement from their father. They all shared a deep hatred for their sister, since, in their opinion, she was to blame for the mother's death. Hatred was only matched by their thirst for power, and it was only a matter of time before tragedy would strike again. I'm gonna skip a little bit. Basically, so you've got this royal family. They're divided, and they all have a piece of what is like the gameplay area. And so you are, you're not any of those people, but you end up traveling through their land. So your name is Ada. You're the player-controlled character forced into a journey of revenge after her village gets destroyed. Not
Snaps.
knowing who's responsible for the attack, she wakes up. I'm just like literally reading this. Woke up to the soft pull of a mystical elk, feeling an overwhelming sense of calm and safety. No reasonable explanation for it, but the girl felt somehow connected to the creature, their bond being as strong as the will to avenge her fellow villagers. Other than a royal crest she faintly remembered seeing on the banners of the attackers, there wasn't any indication of where they might have come from. She ventured north, hoping to find any clues regarding those who had wronged her. The player starts on the outskirts of the Latus Grove, only to find that all is not what it seems. Strange creatures roam the old ancestor ruins. A once peaceful land is now filled with hostile dwellers and wooden bodies and vacant eyes. So gameplay-wise, very Bloodborne Dark Souls in terms of like how you like lock onto characters, you know, you've got to attack them back away. You've got some magical powers, which are neat, but the one that he showed me in the game, like every time you use it, you take damage. Like it hurts you. So like there's a give and take in terms of, and obviously I think that probably is a theme that changes throughout the game as you do more stuff and unlock more stuff. Really interesting though. Like I enjoyed it. Visually pretty good. And just a interesting story. It was compelling. There was good action. You're
Nice.
trying to figure out what's going on. Like, that game is more my speed than,
I'll have to look it up.
from a like third person perspective, open world type. It's kind of like a Zelda, but if you had no, and I, again, it's like, I hate to dumb down games to other games because I
I
don't think
get
that's
you.
fair.
Right.
But kind of
It's
like
just
that, just,
easier to describe it that way.
yeah. But I think from a gameplay perspective, like Bloodborne-y type Dark Souls, more in tune
Okay.
with like the difficulty. And then you've got this magical elk that kind of follows you around and is your companion in the game. And like basically carry stuff for you because your inventory is super limited, kind of like Dark Souls, in which you can't just carry everything.
Everything,
It's not like Zelda where I've got like 52 shields, 8,000 pieces of fruit, So like from a challenge perspective, I think this game will probably be much harder. But that's not a bad thing. What else did I play? I mean, I did play After Charge. Obviously, we talked about that. Played Dual Hand Disaster. Saw that. That was good. Saw the Filthy
Which
Casual
actually,
people.
nice. Their booth was freaking awesome.
Yeah, they. It was the first time they'd actually built a booth. Like they actually like built the wooden frame and everything that like held up all the stuff. That was cool. Actually, I have to order more stuff because what I wanted to buy, they didn't have the size. They had sold out. Because I went by and was like, oh, I'll come back, and then I should have just bought it.
Yeah, they sold out quick,
Live and
according to
learn.
Twitter.
I went to the Thrustmaster booth, which was insane.
That's the ch they're chairs, right? Or is that
No, they're
the
not. So
controllers?
they're not chairs. They're driving wheels and
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, the wheel peripherals.
yeah,
All
so
right.
they had these cool setups, and it was like the racing chair with the TV and the steering wheel and the pedals and like an e-brake shifter thing. I think it was an e-brake. Unbelievable stuff. Like, and the dude was like, because I was just like, I'm like, what am I like? What exactly am I looking at from like a cost perspective for me, right? And he's like, well, everything or like what we sell. He's like, because this isn't, it's not all our stuff. This is an idea of what you could do with it if you're like super into simulation racing games or just racing games, whatever. And he was like basically like 2 to 4 grand, because like the chairs are from PlaySeat, and like there's the frame that the seat is on, and then it's holding the TV, and the TV's part of that. He's like, but the wheels, it's like there's the I think there was two different wheels they had there, and then like steering wheels, they had a few different ones based on the games they were playing. You get the pedals, you get the e-brake. There was a Bluetooth attachment for PS4 that basically was like your tachometer, and it gave you like your RPMs and so you knew like your shift points and stuff. Like, it was awesome. It was
Crazy.
nuts. Like, if I had one, space, and two, the time, and then the money, like I would buy that stuff. Seems so cool to have, to be able to just have a dedicated setup for like GT Sport.
Right?
Or
Yeah.
Forza or whatever,
Forza or whatever.
whatever
Yeah.
racing game it is. And so it was really cool to see that stuff because obviously like I'm not that's not like I love racing games, like I rest in peace Drive Club, but or like dude, Gran Turismo 3, I put so many hours into that back in the day. If I like if I had the ability to have a setup like that, it would be nuts. In addition to that, they also had one set up for flight control stuff, because I guess that's
Yeah.
originally where they came
That's
from,
a
was
ace
joysticks.
combat, stuff like
Yeah,
that.
exactly. And apparently, like I guess that's like some of their equipment, like people use for like actual flight training with like to get like flight time.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, don't quote me on it, but like apparently, like pilots who are like getting their pilot's license use that exact type of stuff. Because it's close, it's
It's
really,
the closest,
yeah,
yeah.
it's I guess it's actually like really close in terms of simulation, and obviously like there's more stuff you can get for like buttons and controls and all that stuff. Because like it was the guy that was working there, his name was Tim, was telling me like there's so much stuff that's like very similar to the designs of current planes. So from a training perspective, like not only are you not training in the physical plane, which means you don't have to be at a plane airfield. Yeah, airfield. But you can still like get, you know, kind of experience with all the different stuff.
Nice.
So that was neat.
That's crazy.
To me, yeah, it was like it kind of blew me away. And like even like the seats, like he was telling me like there's different seats for the cars that have like G-force motors in them. So like when you take turns, like the seats move like with you, so you feel like you get the sensation. So it's just neat. It was neat to see that stuff because I don't have a dog in that fight, so to speak. But it was neat
Yeah.
to see that type of like how in-depth that kind of gear gets and how much, you know, kind of immersion you can get into the game because it was neat. That's really cool stuff. Saw Toasty stickers. That was cool. Got some decals. New decals
Noise.
for my
Did you
my
get order
Nintendo.
some?
And then I got some Rick and Morty ones for my friends.
Oh,
Morty!
jeez.
Morty, I turned myself into a controller, Morty! I'm trying to think if there was anything like, and it probably is stuff that I'm missing, because there was just so much stuff and like
So
I,
much to take in.
but it was good. It was good. That said, what have you been playing?
Too much mixture of things. Most recently, Yakuza 6, and of course, God of War. And I've been jumping back in like Pokemon and stuff like that, like random other quote unquote old schoolish games.
Well, wait, Pokemon old school in the sense of like you're playing like.
Like Yellow, Pokemon
Okay,
Yellow. Jump back to that.
You playing on 3DS?
I'm 3DS because I
Old
don't have
school.
a Game Boy Color anymore.
No OG? Come on, man.
Oh gee, I mean I could get one for like I think $40
Yeah, I
at
was gonna say, they're not expensive anymore.
mall. Yeah, at the mall here. I think it's the same one I had too, but yeah, I mean I don't know. Like I'm not in a gaming lull, but I've since like God of War and stuff like that came out, I've been like switching between that and because of six console wise.
Right.
So yeah, I guess just the newer stuff. Rather than what we used to usually play, like Destiny and what was it? Wildlands or whatever. All
Yep.
that other stuff. Yeah. How about you?
Fortnite.
Fortnite.
Fortnite and Far Cry, man. And you know, I'll be honest. I bought Far Cry 5 kind of on a whim, kind of just like everyone else said it looks really good and it plays really good and it's, you know. One, and I thought the story was so controversial and it was annoying people that I was like, I have to play it. Now I have to play it 'cause it's pissing people off. Like that's you sold. And you know, to me it if I was to again super simplify the game, it's like a first-person Wildlands. With
Basically.
some differences, right? Like I can't call a chopper whenever I want, and I can't switch through an arsenal that's somehow just in my backpack. I have to actually like go back to a
A
outpost
shop,
of yeah,
whatever.
in a shop, and then like pick weapons. And you know, I have all these abilities. It's more a little fine-tuned than Wildlands, but I mean similar idea. Like you're trying to liberate all these areas from these people, and then they don't like it when you do that. And like you've gotta lessen the enforcers and the lieutenants, I suppose, of the militia before you can go after the big guns. So, and like I'm not very f I would say I've put hours into the game but haven't accomplished a lot because I feel like I get lost a lot just kind of putzing around doing nothing and then I got to remember that I need to go complete tasks, but I've gone through a handful of the cuz I think I'm doing John Seed first, the one that's on the bottom left, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, just fishing.
I didn't realize was voiced by Seamus Dever, who used to be one of the cops in the show Castle. And when I like, I it finally clicked. I'm like, the voice. It's driving me nuts. Like, whose voice is this? And then I was like, I had to Google it, and I was like, oh my God, it's Seamus Dever. This is dope. And he from a voice acting perspective, he plays the role perfectly. Like, I love it. I hate him in the game, but I
Oh
love
God,
it, you know?
yeah.
I'm through. I think I'm about to hit the last like forced cutscene that it does, where they like, you know, use the bliss bullets on you and then you have to fight your way through. Like, honestly,
Well,
those are my least favorite parts of the game so far.
yeah. Once you get to I think the last one, then yeah. I mean, you just pretty much just don't get shot, like. But I mean, usually they'll do it like mid-mission, and then you get hit in the crossfire,
Right.
and then you have no choice. But yeah.
Right. That's like, and that's kind of one of the things is like, from a progression standpoint, I think it's a weird way to make the game play when these people want to, 'cause like I just don't understand. These people want to kill your character. But then you play this part where like they're trying to kill you, but they're not trying to kill you, and they have to bring you alive. But then like somehow when you're kind of face to face to the dude, like he just doesn't kill. Like, to me, I've never understood that part of games or movies where like the like bad guy has you and just doesn't just kill you. Like, I feel like in real life they'd be like, there he is, just kill him, just shoot him, he's dead, done, problem solved. Like the movie can end an hour and a half early because we've got him.
30-minute movie done.
So that's, you know, from a plot perspective, like, to me that seems a little weird. To me it felt better the way they did it in Wildlands, where like you just kind of slowly whittled down all the lieutenants and gained more notoriety among the like rebels that were fighting against the cartel and stuff in Wildlands, where like people were just angrier at you and you faced more, you know, it was harder to escape them because like they came at you with more force. So like, yeah, I might have
Yeah,
enjoyed the
they
game
were
more,
relentless.
as opposed to this was like they're trying to kill you, but they're also not trying to kill you. I love when bears show up and fuck shit up.
Oh God.
Big fan of just like wandering through the woods and hearing bear, and then like silence, and then like a couple gunshots, and then just silence for a little bit. It just makes me chuckle. It's annoying when it's the shopkeeper person who's just wandering through the woods, because I'm like, oh, I wanted to buy stuff from you.
Now you did. Best.
Bastards. But I've been enjoying that. And Fortnite, honestly, like I've not gotten tired of Fortnite yet.
I jump back on that.
I thought that at one point I would, but it's because I've consistently got a couple people that I play with.
Yeah, like once you squad up,
And
like.
when you're squatting up with people, like I think that's what makes the game so much fun for me, at least, because it's a matter of like how it's not like, oh, we're gonna win. It's just like, how far can we go? And to Epic Games' credit, they keep the game fresh by like changing game modes and changing weapons, and there's like, you know, all the stuff you can earn in game even if you don't pay. And like, I've bought the battle pass. I think this is the second battle pass I've bought. So like, I'm earning all this extra stuff, like these in-game, it's all in-game stuff. Like,
Cosmetic,
it's,
yeah.
yeah, it's all
It's all
cosmetic.
cosmetic, yeah.
But I like it. Like, I'm like, this is cool stuff. Like, I want to use this. And so I am still playing that and also enjoying it. Like, I'm just not tired of it. But I usually don't play by myself unless I'm on iOS and I'm just trying to get challenges done, because everything carries over. So like, if I'm playing on my PC, you know, or I'm playing on my phone, or I'm playing on the PS4, everything progress-wise carries over, so I never have to worry about
Oh, wow.
like wasting time on one machine. And I hate to say wasting time, spending time
Yeah.
on one platform over another. Thankfully, my progress is linked across the board. And getting challenges done on iOS is way easier because everybody on iOS kind of sucks because there's no controller support. So like you have the advantage of if you can get pretty decent at it, you can probably win a handful of iOS games. Or at the very least, get your challenges, bang them out, and move on with your life.
Isn't the game supposed to go like full on free though?
I mean, technically it is free. I just pay for the.
But I mean like the single player stuff, isn't that supposed to be free
From
at
what
some
I
point?
recall, yes, at some point the single player is supposed to be free. I have never literally touched the single player at all.
Yeah, like a sucker, I bought it and the early access and whatever. But just because I want to see what the single player is like I get what a battle royal is. We know what PUBG is. So, yeah, no, I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're right though. I think it was at some point supposed to be free. I'm like a, but like I've said, I've never touched it. I just enjoy the battle royale part. And like the current mode that's going on, 50 versus 50. Dude, it's so much fun. Like it's so much fun 'cause it basically just funnels you to this one small area and you get like maybe it's like I think it's 8 minutes before the storm starts closing in and then you just have to and it's just like everybody's building, everybody's shooting and there's just shit going on everywhere. Like you honestly don't even have to like really worry about finding good gear as you start because by the time you get to where the action is, like there's just stuff everywhere from people who've died. So that's an enjoyable experience because you're like, oh my God, everything's happening. And like it's
It's more insane.
yeah, it's way more insane and the action's more, I think, consistent. And like you're trying to revive people, but like they bleed out faster, and then like people are rushing in, and you've got like you can't be like, all right, it's just a squad of four. Like it's a squad of a million, you know. And by a million, I mean it's a squad of 50, right? Like, there's only 50 people that could possibly be against you, but instead of, like, you know that you've downed one person, so there's three in, like, a certain squad situation, like, you could potentially have, like, 10 people rushing you because they're all just like, let's go, fuck it, you know? So that's been fun playing that mode. But, like, what sucks is if you have challenges that have nothing to do with that mode, you've got to go play, like, I hate getting challenges that are like place top whatever in squads because I'm like, great, now I have to play squads. And those to me are a bit of a chore because usually what I'll do is I'll jump into a squad and just fly to the edge of the map and just wait. And if you wait long enough, like I'm literally just killing time, like you wait long enough and you will most likely out survive everybody else before the storm sets in to the point where you complete the challenge and you're in like the top whatever place.
Jeez.
You can ab
Dang.
and you can abandon those challenges and I almost never do and I probably just should because
Should, yeah.
at one point like I'm kind of defeating the point of playing the game if I'm just existing in the space to get a challenge.
Right. Hey, whatever. A challenge is a challenge.
Right.
Completing a challenge is a completing challenge.
Yeah. And then those are so
So.
because I'm at like right now I'm at tier 94, and at tier
Jeez.
100, your boy gets the John Wick skin.
What?
Yep,
Dang.
and I'm so close, and I could probably I think it's like 150 V-bucks per tier, so it would cost me a couple hundred V-bucks to jump tiers. But because when you have the battle pass, like you pay the $10 to get the battle pass, you earn V-Bucks every so often as you play. Like I have 1400 V-Bucks. So
Oh,
in
jeez.
theory, I could potentially buy the next season's battle pass with those V-Bucks, but I'm not 100% sure if that's a thing they allow. Like I don't know if I have to buy V-Bucks in cash or if I can use the in-game earned V-Bucks to buy the next battle pass. Because in theory,
The one way
right, that's my thing. Because like, if I can't, then cool. I'm just gonna buy a bunch of the in-game stuff and then pay $10 to get the next battle pass. Because it would make no sense if I could spend $10 or $20 in my case on two battle passes and then be able to infinitely earn enough V-Bucks to continue buying battle passes. Because like, they wouldn't really make any money. Unless people are just buying V-Bucks because they want to buy all the random in-game items in the shop, because like they do have some really cool emotes, cool dances, skins, etc., hammers that you can get. You know, they're cool. So like I could see why people spend money on it, but I'm the type of just being like, cool, I'm gonna buy the battle pass and then let it happen. You know, whatever I earn, I earn. I also think it's cool that if I hadn't earned the battle pass and I was at tier 94 right now and I said, oh shit, I'm almost there, I can spend the $10 and it will give me everything I would have earned up until that point. Like it is retroactive. So at the very least, people could play the game and be like, okay, it's almost the end of the season. If I pay the $10, I'm gonna get all of this stuff, and then be like, you know what, it's worth it, I'll drop the $10 because I can get all that cool stuff. Whereas I look at it as I'm paying you $10 every 2 months, maybe, to get all this cool stuff. That's worth it. The game cost me nothing. I feel like I owe you something for the enjoyment and the hours I've gotten out of the game. So that's my kind of take on the Fortnite. Like, I have PUBG on my PC. I don't play it enough. And honestly, it's more because I need to reset up everything in my room. I need to reset up my desk and put the PC over there instead of like weirdly having it attached to like my TV. It's not comfortable to sit there and play, so I just don't. So I need to I and I've been in the process. Cody's actually been helping me. Basically, she texts me and she's like, "What did you throw out today? 'Cause you need to throw out more stuff. You have too much shit. Clear it out." CJ's been the same way, 'cause they're about to move back to the West Coast, and they've been like reorganizing and cleaning, and she's just been like, "You have too much shit. Like, get rid of it. You don't need all this stuff." And I'm not sentimental anymore, so I've just been going through my room and like I cleared out a ton of stuff. Like just emptying my closet, being like, books I've read and I don't plan on reading again, like time to donate them. Boxes to random stuff that I've already used and it's past the point of return or past the point of any kind of warranty, like the box can go. With the exception of video game stuff, I still keep the video game boxes because I have a pretty invested amount of time and money in the collection that I have. So like it's unlikely I'm gonna get rid of certain boxes, like the console boxes, you know, accessories boxes, depending on what it is. Like most of the Nintendo ones I still have, but like my old headset, I was like, yeah, this thing is like the Sony headset is one, broken, and two, like I'm not returning it, so like I can get rid of the box. The Xbox headset I have, I'm like, that's been like 2 years, like time to go. The next thing I'm getting ready to do is all my DVDs and my CDs that I have. I'm gonna buy one of those giant folio like zipper case things, like the Case Logic thing. And I'm just gonna put
I have one of those.
all the discs and the booklets and that, and then just recycle all the plastic cases.
Yeah,
'Cause that's
good idea.
that'll just get rid of all of it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I can get more shelves and like put more of the gaming stuff up, 'cause like right now a lot of my gaming stuff is still just sitting in bins because I don't have anywhere to shit like to put it. So I've been trying to get rid of as much stuff that I just don't need or want anymore so that I have space to kind of show off the things that I like, which is mostly video game stuff. So
Mostly evidence. Yeah.
I need to buy a couple more. I need to get more like bookshelves. Or just like shelving units. It doesn't have to be a bookshelf, but shelving units so that I can like put more gaming stuff up. Because I have just like neat stuff that I've gotten along the way, and I want to be able to have a place where I can at least enjoy how it looks. But that's kind of it. That's kind of what I've been up to. I mean, aside from the work life bullshit. What about you? Is there anything else?
Actually, I was gonna quick random question back to PAX. Did JC have a newer build for
Yes.
Dual Hand
He
Disaster?
did. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, because I know
I should
South
get.
he found a bug.
He oh every no 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 He finds bugs like all the time and literally will get home like from PAX, like the show floor, update it, and then like have that build ready at
Oh,
the
damn.
booth. Yeah, he JC will not stop crunching on that game. Like, to his credit, like he puts in a ton of work, and it shows, because literally he'll be like, oh yeah, somebody found this bug last night, so like I've got the notes and I'm like fixing it. I'll get you a Steam key. So that you can play. Because
Game is legit.
it's dope.
Yeah, I want to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. And actually, I was talking to Sophie earlier, because I'm trying to connect her with somebody that I know, but that's not podcast related. I can't wait till that another 1-star review. Why does he talk about stuff that's not gaming? Because I can do whatever I want. It's my podcast. Just like you don't have to listen.
Shoot.
You can't see me brushing my shoulder off, but just hashtag I'm brushing my shoulder off. But that's all I got for this episode. Because I feel like we're now, because it like the episode we had to I had to stop to get the dog to stop barking, and then we
Right.
reconnected. Like, we're probably over an hour at
Over an
camp.
hour, yeah.
So that's episode 93. Apologies for the huge delay in between. There's been a lot going on, and trying to make it work, trying to get back in there, create this content for you. As soon as I reclaim my desk, there will be more YouTube content. That's a guarantee. But for now, it has been a privilege. Hashtag guys on Titanic playing instruments as they drown. Anyways, yeah, episode 93. Follow me on Twitter at so after I said follow. Don't follow Mike at
No,
mtongue1.
don't do it. Don't do it.
You can follow the podcast at the DGcast. We have youtube.com/thedgcast.
All of it.
And you can tweet us, send things, etc. And we will catch you
On the flip.